the whole idea that there is an end of days is clearly, that's without dispute in all the various aspects of Christianity. In fact, he will return in the clouds. There will be a great apostasy prior to it happening. His first incarnation or his incarnation was in humility and emptiness. His next appearance will be for judgment. And the only question is this, when is it going to happen? No man knows when it's going to happen. But we do know that every writer of the New Testament believed that everything was completed then, so it could have happened at any day from the standpoint of when the New Testament was written. But over the centuries, there have been three different theories postulated about this end of days. Again, it's coming at an unknown time, but we must be prepared to come at a twinkling of an eye. There's nothing from this time of Christ until now that prevents his coming at any moment. Now, here are the divergent views. I'm going to start the opposite way. The first view is called the premillennialists. And they get their interpretation from what I believe is a misunderstanding of Daniel 9, is what we talked about yesterday, and from looking at 1 Thessalonians 4:17 and 1 Corinthians 15. But this is the idea that happened, or really was never in any church history until 1830. And a man named John Darby postulated it, and it since then has spread like wildfire, where now the premillennial understanding of the end of days is the dominant theory in Christianity, at least from the public perception of Christianity. The tenets of it are, one is that the church will be raptured prior to the Great Tribulation, and that there is going to be a period of great tribulation, but the church will be raptured. It'll be sitting up in the clouds with Christ during that tribulation period. And during that time, there'll be all kinds of wars and Gog and Magog and stuff from Ezekiel. And the Antichrist will rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And he'll set himself up in the temple. He'll do that for 7 years. But in the midst of the 7 years, at 3.5 years, he will stop the sacrifices.
Is that what this leg rape thing says?
Yeah. And so, and the left behind and everything else.
Well, how do these guys feel who are out there trying to rebuild the temple?
Well, they think that it has to happen in order that the rest of it can happen. That's why all of them are really good friends with the Jews, but the they certainly don't tell the Jews that they all have to die, but that's another story.
Sir, during the time we're up in the clouds with Jesus, if you get out of your chair and step on the clouds, you fall through.
Okay, after 7 years, Christ will return with the church to reign for 1,000 years on earth. And then will come the judgment day.
I've heard that.
You've heard that one. That's called the premillennialists, and that's the camp of Hal Lindsey and Dallas Theological Seminary and all of these Left Behind books and all of the ideas of rapture and John Hagee and Van Ippe, and all these people believe in this premillennialist rapture thing.
Better to leave those books behind.
Well, if you saw the last issue, or second to last issue of the Door, you saw that on the cover it was Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins got left behind.
I think the motive behind this doctrine seems to be one of instilling fear in potential believers or people so that they will join the church, I guess. There's going to be some follow the money here.
I don't know. Anyway, the next one is the post-millennialists. And these are the ones that are gaining power now in the secret places of Christianity in the world and the governments and all kinds of secret societies. The post-millennialists say that Christ will only reappear after the Spirit-empowered church has established God's kingdom on earth by progressively subduing the world. And slowly but surely, all of the kingdoms of the earth will be under the control of these dominionists, the Christians. And that's why they're called dominionists or reconstructionists. It entails direct action by believers in all aspects of politics, commerce, military, broadcasting. We've got quotes where they say, all this will be ours. And it's a huge group of people that isn't... It's starting to get better known. In fact, if it goes like we think, the loser of the next issue of the Door will be the dominionists. But really, it's influencing a whole lot of President Bush's policies. He's sort of in the middle of the camp between the post and the pre. And so it's really, it's another, to me, I don't know how they get by with, you know, with the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. Or 2 Peter, which talks about there's nothing going to change, it always looks the same. So those are the two kind of bookends. And well, then there's the whole idea of liberals, and they just
is
don't.
Is there one that's in the middle, like if the rapture occurs in the middle of the tribulation, or during the tribulation, or something like that?
Maybe, but I don't. These are the fundamental ones.
What is the scripture backing for this dominion, the dominionists? I mean, what do they have any?
Yeah, there's.
I'm just not familiar with that as much as the other
ones.
Well, I don't want to do that because I might commend somebody in the audience. You'll have to read John's loser of the next issue of the Door to see. All right, now what we believe or what I teach is called amillennialists, no millennium. The 1,000 years in Revelation 20 is allegorical, describing the period from his resurrection from the tomb to the last day when he's coming in the clouds. And that the entire time, no matter what it looks like, has been the age of Messiah. For me, I believe that's what the scriptures clearly teach. And I promise you that's what all of the first century Christians believed. Or at least, the only time that I've seen it in ancient history, and it's in Eusebius's church history, where they talked about the 1,000-year reign of Christ from Revelation 20, is that it was part of the Cerinthian heresy. Cerinthus not only said that the purpose of Christ's death and resurrection was so that you could be healed and rich, it was also that there could be, part of it was that there would be a 1,000-year reign from Jerusalem of the Messiah. And so that's the only time I've seen any reference to it in all of the study I've done where it wasn't considered, and that time it was, in the very early church, and that's when it was considered a heresy. And believe me, I'm in no way a scholar on any of these matters. I'm just sort of giving you an overview of what these different theories are. Anyway, the amillennialists, or what I teach, is 1,000 years in Revelation 20 is allegorical. It's this period of indeterminate length that could have been a day if there would have been total obedience, or it could be what appears to be over 2,000 years when there's rebellion. His coming will occur at the end of all of history. There will be one general resurrection of both believers and unbelievers from throughout history. There's no difference from the day of Christ between Jews or Greeks or bond or free. It wasn't just the Jews that killed Christ. All men killed Christ. It wasn't the Romans or the Jews. It was you and I. And so the whole mystery of this way of thinking is that it requires pure faith, because there is no evidence from what we can physically see for this to be the age of Messiah. Now, this is really very controversial. So if you're in one of the other camps, then we're idiots.
So, like, at the same time, there's the famine in the land seems to be part of the...
There's a famine. Remember when we studied the famines, there were 10 great famines in history? And the last one is the famine in the age of Messiah. The famines always occurred in the age of one of the spiritual giants, but the last and greatest famine is the famine of in the days of Messiah. And it's from in the book of Amos, but this is kind of a modification of it. There's a famine in your land, but not of bread. It is a famine of hearing the true word of God. Yet you say, I am with you, but lo, I am not. For I have long since fled the staleness and hypocrisy of your structures, and like the wind I blew past your ways, for I will not be bound by the ways of the fallen creature. Learn from this and become wise in the wisdom from above. So those, but there's, and there's obviously nothing special about, well, if somebody's a Jew or a Norwegian, and there's nothing special about whether the land is over there in Israel isn't any more holy than Mesquite, and Jerusalem isn't any more holy than Peoria. I mean, it's all... And at the end, when Christ comes in the clouds, that will be the judgment. It's the judgment. It's the end of everything. And I believe we could spend eternity studying the scriptures, and I think you would see it. The question is, why then? Why are these other systems developed? Well, it's the same reason that the basic theology of Islam is conquer. The basic theology of the dominionist is conquer. It gives an excuse to be in power and to wield power and to justify almost anything. The whole idea of the pre-trib rapture is to give you time so that you don't have to pick up the cross today. You can do that when you start seeing a temple being built over in Israel or something. So basically all heresies happen to give you more time. So to me, the heresy is, and it doesn't matter what flavor it is, what flavor of the month or day it is, it's all of it discounts the finished work of Christ. All of it ascribes a necessity for actions on your part, and none of it says be at rest. As I've said so often lately, you can't make a mistake theologically by ascribing too much to Jesus. Now, does everybody understand? I mean, like, you know, this is probably only of interest in the Protestant world because, I mean, like, people that grew up in a Catholic, it really wasn't a part of the theology, the end of days, because it is in certain of the Catholic
subgroups, you know, there's different parts of the...
And it really isn't, hadn't been of much interest to the general public until all these best-selling books, and people wanted an explanation for why their life was a mess, or why it wasn't Ozzie and Harriet land anymore. But does everybody understand these sort of end of days theology in Christianity a little better? Now again, for us, for me anyway, whether you believe it or not is your business. I believe it was totally finished at the cross. It's now not a matter of whether there's Jew or Greek or bond or free or Texan or... We are of a new order, a new class, a new genus. That only that which came from the Father can return to the Father. He alone has immortality. And so it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And always in the ancient times when the temples were dedicated and the glory of God filled the temple, man was not there. And that's where I've said so often, if it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, that by definition then he cannot occupy where you are. So all of the mind of Christ is emptiness, not putting the name of God on things, the crap you think up. So it is it's a theology that embraces suffering. Well, there's never going to be very many people that understand that or have any interest in following it. And so, as I've said so often, it doesn't surprise me that there are not hundreds of thousands of people following us. It surprises me there's one. Because this is nothing that you can talk someone into. It has to be only when you've seen the end of everything else. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be humbled or emptied therein it. Any response to any of this? Did you learn anything?
I have a response. The stuff we were just talking about is similar to, you know, years and years and years ago. I had to take like 20 hours of religion at the university I went to. And that's what this stuff is like. The paucity of this kind of stuff, to me, is revealed when you're bleeding in the emergency room or you start having chest pains at 3 in the morning or you find out your biopsy came back positive. This stuff is just—it's just stuff to do inside your head and stuff to talk about that has no relationship to reality. It's an investigation.
Well, I mean, that's our opinion or your opinion. Yeah,
that's my experience. The paucity is revealed when the rubber hits the road.
So yesterday we studied in Daniel these. This seminal scripture that people use to justify either the pre-trib or the post-trib rapture. And in order to come to this pre-trib rapture, you have to, or either pre or post, you have to have a floating week. That there has to be a week of the Daniel's 490 or 70 years, 77s, that floats, and it's sort of sitting up there in time, waiting until. I mean, it's worse than any UFO movie that you've ever believed in, if you really think about it. And it's worse than Scientology's 75 million years ago. This Xenu, the galactic emperor, took all of the dregs of the earth or the galaxy and sent them to Earth and blew them up with hydrogen bombs and in volcanoes, and the ills that man has, like postpartum depression and anything, is because there's still these thetans with the evidence of these ancient things within you that has to be cleared by an e-meter. I mean, it's just It's a, but my point of it is,
what? I think that's what's going on in me.
Well, for Scott, I believe that. Yeah, he's got some thetans in there.
I'll say to take your, as you're explaining all these different positions, cut them all together, and make an interesting tape of what you believe.
Even better, we should hook you up to an e-meter while you talk.
That's, that wouldn't be funny, John.
Somebody had to do it. Clip it off. Paste it together.
Lies.
You know, it sounds very
exhausting.
Well, it does to me, too. That's why, I mean, and I, believe me, I mean, I spent all those years trying to, because what I saw when I saw was it was over, it was ended. And I didn't like that at all. I mean, I wanted there to be some time for me to do stuff. I had things to do for Jesus. Even after I became a believer, I was going to be governor for Jesus first, and that was kind of goofy. Then I wanted to be president for Jesus. And, of course, I wanted to be king of the world for Jesus. But, and so I really studied this stuff. I mean, I spent 14 years... And it, you know, hope trying to prove I was what I saw was wrong, and that's not—I'm not kidding. And that's why I'm saying there's nothing that I can ever teach. I can't teach you anything. And if you haven't known that by now, you're a fool. Okay, everybody seems
it's like walking down a street. There's sideshow barkers as you go down the street. Each one's got a different. You got a fat man with big colorful charts behind him, and you got a smiling little guy over here saying "Be happy." Everybody's got a different thing they're selling, and then down the end of the street, there's this little ugly little Jew sitting in the corner saying "Follow me and die."
It's you know, exemplified.
Who's going to buy?
It's exemplified by our chart here. I mean, who would believe this chart? This is the worst chart ever.
It's kind of, what's Joyce
have
the word? Pathetic.
Pathetic. It's a pathetic chart. pitiful, that's it. It's a pitiful chart.
I'm going to have it carved on your head side. Despised and rejected as men.
No, it's it is. I mean, if you believe, I mean, God calls the human race locusts and worms and grass.
Bonhoeffer said it well. Jesus says, "Come to me and die."
And I, you know, but at least I say the human race are God's sperm cells.
At least.
I mean, that's better than telling them you're a bunch of grasshoppers or worms or worthless. The only, but it's just like this hairy sideshow thing. It's you're going up the birth canal. I mean, the whatever that canal is to go. It's been so long since I've been involved with one.
This is going to make some good clips.
But it goes from the vagina to the egg, and that's what the human race is doing. But they stop and camp out all over the place and build cities and nations and plans and ideas, and they have art and sculpt, and they have little PR people, and they have music, and they're all doing all this stuff while they're going up the tube. And their goal is to come into the egg and die.
Do you have a chart of that?
I'm going to stop. I'm just going to quit.
Well, you got to admit, when you sit down and hand out a chart and then start talking about what you talked about this morning, you got to expect to be made fun of.
Well, I mean, if I
realize
didn't...
We realize you're not espousing him, but still, you have to realize you're going to get made fun of him.
Not espousing what?
The crap that you told us.
This I hate you people. I just despise all of you.
I'm confused. I like the price.
So are you saying
it's finished? And you have to, just as a seed must fall into the ground and die, so the sperma of God must be enclosed, encapsulated in an egg and lose its identity. And we're exhorted constantly to look at our own body for the mystery. And that's the way it happens. And the difference is, we're not, by faith, we're not just a sperm cell anymore. If we die, then we have been made the adoption, or the adopted ones. But the word adoption doesn't mean adopting a baby. It's huiothesios. It's the placing of the fullness of the Son. So, I mean, it's over. And all of your little trials and tribulations and stuff is just to show you that everything else but Him is empty and futile. But all those other theologies we talked about give you a way to put the name of God on your idolatry. And that's what makes them, in my mind, so heretical. All right, that's enough. I've had it with all of you. Take it, big guy.